taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were every day American.
What is a tyrant? Welcome, everyday Americans. You've joined the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution. And today we're going to be talking about tyranny and tyrants. Now, Merriam-Webster defines a tyrant as an absolute ruler unrestrained by law or constitution, a usurper of sovereignty. So think about the last 14, 16 months. Have there been examples of tyrants? I'd say the history of our country over the last year has been replete with tyrants of one form or another. The important thing about tyranny and about tyrants is that first you must recognize when you are the subject of a tyrant. You must recognize the illegitimacy of the tyranny before you can begin to act to stop it. I found this article, and I've talked about it once before, but this article absolutely infuriates me. I found it on the Epoch Times, although it's been reported in several places. But apparently, the Postmaster General has been asked to provide information about a group within the U.S. Postal Service. This group is called the Internet Covert Operations Program, or ICOP. Love our acronyms. And this group, according to Yahoo News, has been monitoring activity on social media. They've been spying on you. Now, according to Yahoo News, they've been looking at Parler and Telegram, which I find interesting because I don't know. I don't know if they're targeting those for a reason. But I find it interesting they don't talk about targeting Facebook. They don't talk about targeting Twitter. No, they're targeting Parler and Telegram. So if this is true, if the reporting is accurate, and again, I don't trust any news media as far as I could throw them, this is a serious problem. This is a government actor. The U.S. Postal Service is some semi-independent, quasi-government agency. The post office is authorized by the Constitution. Congress can establish post offices. They can maintain post roads. But we're talking about an arm of the federal government whose job it is to deliver the mail, and they're spying on you. They're spying on your social media. Tell me, what does social media have to do with delivering the mail? Why would the Postal Service care what you say or what you do or what groups you're part of on social media? I could think of some pretty dystopian ideas. But since the federal government is not authorized to search you, your papers, or your effects without a warrant, this is a blatant violation of the Fourth Amendment. Oh, I know the courts say, you know, it's open to the public. You have no right to privacy. Doesn't matter. The Constitution doesn't say you have a right to privacy. The Constitution doesn't say you have a right not to be searched by the government unless you put it out in public. The Fourth Amendment says that you have a right to be secure in your persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures. And that warrants may only be issued with probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation. this is a domestic spying program, assuming the reports are accurate. This is tyranny. Why? Because you have the federal government, you have an arm of the federal government acting unrestrained by law or constitution. The Constitution says you can't be searched. They don't have the right to search you, your papers, your effects, wherever they are. If you write a note and put it on your kitchen table, they have no more right to that than they do to look at your blog post. Now, anything you post publicly, and obviously, everybody can look at that. What does the post office have to do with this? Is the post office going to start holding mail for people who have unauthorized media posts? Are they going to declare your posts misinformation, disinformation? They're going to stop Postal Service for you? It's not beyond the pale. You already have media outlets that refuse to do, you know, that kick you off if you quote facts that are inconvenient. You already have attempts to shut down speech people don't like. You already have governments saying any information we don't like will be marked as disinformation. And if you don't suppress it, I'm sure the stick is coming. Is this really America? Has America got to the point where the Postal Service is a intelligence arm, a spying organization for the federal government? See, this is what happens when people don't pay attention to what's going on, don't pay attention to what their hired employees are doing. According to the reports, there were 32 Republican lawmakers that are asking the Postmaster General about this alleged program. Of the 535 members of Congress, 30 are asking what's going on. Of the 435 representatives hired by the people to exercise their power in their name, only 32 appear to be interested enough to find out more about a domestic spying program being run out of the U.S. Postal Service. Those 435 men and women work for you, the American people. You hired them. Are you happy with this? Do you truly want to live in a Soviet dystopia where the mail carrier, the entire mail delivery system, is spying on you? I don't know. Of course, I'm not hearing it in the news. I don't expect to hear it in the news. I think Jefferson is right. The usefulness of the news could no more be destroyed by its suppression than by its devotion, its prostitution to falsehood. Where is the news? Tell me, which news outlets that you get your information from were telling you about this? And if your news information is not telling you about this, why do you trust them? It's still being investigated. But if the idea of the Postal Service spying on the American people, going out of their way, we're not even talking about looking at packages, we're talking going out of their way to search your social media. This isn't a free country. It more resembles Stalinist Russia than it does Washington's America. But that's not all. A couple of representatives sent a letter to Attorney General Merrick Garland. He wants to know what's going on with these January 6th probe. They said, quote, "Those that damaged property and assaulted police officers on January 6th should rightly face justice." Absolutely true. They go on to say, however, the public outcry and hyper-politicization of the events of January 6th may incentivize prosecutors to use overly aggressive tactics, overcharge, and abuse the power of the federal government in order to satisfy favored political groups. I'd kind of drop the maybe. I'd kind of drop the could. You see, because we have people arrested on January 6th, to my knowledge, are still in jail, still in solitary confinement. Tell me, where is Kamala Harris funding bail money for this group? Oh, she was more than happy to bail out rioters in Portland, in Seattle, even in Washington, D.C. At least I believe she's in Washington, D.C. as well. Where's the outcry? Now, again, the people who damaged property, who assaulted police officers, they should face justice, not political revenge. See, we call it the justice system. It is not a justice system. There's no justice in our system. It's just a system. That's probably a much longer discussion for another day. But if you're telling me that if you have a certain political point of view, you can assault, kill, burn, loot, and get out of jail. But if you have a different point of view, if you have a different political viewpoint, you don't get out of jail. You know, it seems right now there are two Americas. There's the Marxist America, where that you can get away with murder. And there's a Liberty America, where you don't get away with anything. And now American Greatness has posted a video showing the demonstrators inside the Capitol getting permission from Capitol Police. Permission to be there as long as they're peaceful. No assaults, no rioting, peaceful. They had permission to be there. So yes, those who were not peaceful, those who did damage, those who did assault, they need to be brought to justice. But this concept of an insurrection on January 6th is a lie, and now the video evidence is there. Video evidence that the majority of those who entered the Capitol did so peacefully, calling for peaceful protest. They had the permission of Capitol Police. But you see, they're on the wrong political side. So the Constitution doesn't matter. The law doesn't matter if you're on the wrong political side. This is America today. Now, I don't know about you. I find this disturbing. I find it disturbing that one political party has so co-opted the system that protesters that identify as Democrats and Marxists can loot and pillage and steal and assault and kill with impunity, and they are protected by a political party. Their bail is paid. The police are told not to leave them alone, and innocent citizens are left to fend for themselves, while peaceful protesters who were allowed, who were granted access to the Capitol, are vilified as insurrectionists. Well, you know what? Our founding fathers were vilified as insurrectionists by the tyrant in London. We have a tyranny in Washington, D.C. It is not a single tyrant. It's several hundred, it's several thousand tyrants. Yes, it's the President of the United States who ignores the Constitution and attempts to enact law without going through the legislative process. It is Congress that routinely ignores the Constitution, sets up agencies and programs and laws and regulations in violation of their oath of office. It is the bureaucrats that create regulations that deny people their rights, that trample the Constitution. There is a tyranny in Washington. It's not the only place, but it's the biggest place. You want proof that justice in Washington is no longer blind? The FBI finally, some almost 4 years later, reclassified the attempted mass shooting of Republican members of the House as domestic terrorism. Do you know what they originally classified it as? Suicide by cop. Tell me, how is a sniper firing on generally unarmed members of the House suicide by cop? The only reason there were armed personnel there was because Representative Steve Scalise was there and he had a Secret Service detail. If it wasn't for that Secret Service detail, it had been shooting representatives in a barrel, and they called it suicide by cop. And notice the date, 2017. This wasn't done under the Biden administration. This wasn't done under the Obama administration. This was done under the Trump administration. Suicide by cop? Are you kidding me? Almost 4 years. It happened on June 14th, 2017. So we are 3 years and 11 months. Little less. Little more. And now they're finally treating it as more than suicide by cop. Now, I don't know if it should be called domestic terrorism, but it certainly does fall into the attempt of assassination. If this man did this at a school, there would have been 4 years of screams about domestic terrorism. And only now, after almost 4 years, does the FBI admit, you know what? That was not just suicide by cop. You know, I'm sure the rank and file of the FBI are good, honest, hardworking men and women, but it is another political arm of the government. I'm sorry. How do you trust? How does anybody trust the FBI? See, now, before the attack, the gunman had social media posts backing Bernie Sanders and other left-wing causes. So in that case, oh no, it's suicide by cop. However, you have people questioning the problems in the election. And by the way, that's not a theory. That's not a myth. The choice of electors from several states was done illegally, and it wasn't dealt with. And the people protest. They work with the Capitol Police to enter the Capitol. And they're labeled domestic terrorists. They're insurrectionists. Be specific. Tell me, if a Trump supporter opened fire on a Democratic gathering, do you think it would have been called suicide by cop? Tyranny. This is rulers, absolute rulers, unrestrained by law or constitution. What does a constitution matter with people who wipe their backsides with it? Who treat it like toilet paper? Well, it matters, or it should matter, to we the people. You see, the Constitution is merely ink on parchment. The Constitution is not going to get up and defend itself. It's not going to get up and dope slap politicians. It's not going to get up and handcuff FBI leaders. It's words on paper. It's ideas. And the strongest idea in the Constitution are the first three words. We the people. It is we the people who formed this government through our states. It is we the people who set the boundaries and limitations on the federal government. And it is we, the people, that are ultimately responsible for keeping our creation within its allotted boundaries. So when the FBI is allowed to wait 4 years, 4 years, to take an assassination attempt seriously, it's our fault. When members of Congress create a 9/11 type commission because protesters worked with the police to gain access to the Capitol, that's tyranny. And when the federal government gets the United States Postal Service to spy on American citizens, to spy on anyone, that's tyranny. And the fact that we let it happen, that the people who voted for and allowed the House to set up a kangaroo court to make a political show trial out of the protests on January 6th is our fault. We hired them. They work for us. They act in our name. They are our fault. And until that gets driven into our minds, until we are willing to accept responsibility for the people we send to Washington, D.C., and our state houses and our county courthouses, this will not get better. This will only get worse. To paraphrase, I forget who it was who said this, but in talking to a disobedient child, saying, I can take you out and make another one just like you. Well, the Declaration of Independence says, you know what? When government becomes abusive, when government becomes destructive of its purpose, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, being the protection of our rights, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. All we have to do is alter it. How? By hiring better people to exercise our authority in our name to protect our rights as our employees, and to follow the laws and the Constitution that we have put in place to guide them. Now, all of my shows go to podcast usually a day or two after the broadcast. So if there's something here you want to listen to, you want to go back and find out more, please, you can find them on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, iHeart. You can find them on my show page. Go to AmericaOutloud.com and under shows, look for the Constitution Study. Be sure, please, to subscribe. Go to the Apple Podcast and subscribe and rate the show. It helps other people find this news and this information. And please hang around for our sponsors. They help keep this on program and America Out Loud on the air. And we'll be back right after this break.
Now, never before in our history have we witnessed the level of hatred that is now being waged against our law enforcement. While anarchist groups create havoc and overwhelm our first responders, these same groups and their corporate supporters are calling for the police forces to be shrunk and defunded. What can you and I do to make a difference? How can we stand up for what is right and to show our support? That's what I'm going to tell you about this incredible new platform. It's called ShopToTheRight.com. And it's a new shopping platform that will help you find businesses that align with your values. They feature products made in America. They support veteran-owned businesses, as well as our law enforcement community. This is a time when we need to stick together. We need to shop together, and we need to support each other. It's time for you and I to make some noise and stand up to protect our country. And one easy way to do that is to shop and give our money to companies that don't seek to destroy our way of life. So join the fight for liberty. ShopToTheRight.com. Support those American businesses that support law enforcement and veterans.
While the cancel culture is determined to destroy our history, bringing violence and terror to city streets, America Out Loud will enhance its own message of love and honor for the American traditions and constitutional values that have always been the backbone of what America means: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. We read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. And today we're talking about tyrants. That's right. Merriam-Webster defines a tyrant as an absolute ruler unrestrained by law or constitution, a usurper of sovereignty. And that pretty much describes Washington, D.C. today. Not that everybody in Washington, D.C., but as a whole, the federal government seems to plainly ignore the law, they ignore the Constitution, and they certainly do usurp the authority of both the states and of the people. So, what are we to do about it? Well, the first way to deal with any problem, you start with recognizing you've got a problem. We've talked about postal service spying. We've talked about unequal treatment under the law for demonstrators of different types. We even talked about the FBI originally classifying an assassination attempt, a mass assassination attempt, as a suicide by cop for 4.5 years. And we've shown it doesn't matter which party is in the White House, this tyranny keeps going on. It doesn't seem to matter which party is in charge of the Houses of Congress. This tyranny keeps going on. There's an old saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. How many times do American people have to be fooled? For example, from the Epoch Times, I believe they're reporting from the Daily Caller, a former Justice Department official, Mary McCord, she was involved, let's say, with the improper spying on Trump staff. She sees one of the officials who reviewed and approved the warrants to surveil Carter Page. Warrants that were later found out to be fraudulent. Well, the warrants weren't fraudulent. They were issued on fraudulent terms. The very court that excoriated McCord and other government officials for providing false and misleading information that led to the issuing of these warrants just got a new job. Can you guess what this job is? An advisory role for the very Foreign Intelligence Service court that she hoodwinked just a few years ago. Now, some people call it the deep state, the swamp, the who cares. If Mary McCord fooled the court once, shame on her. But for the court to hire her back into a role where she's again reviewing warrant requests, and again, not just any warrant requests, warrant requests for the very court she hoodwinked, well, shame on them. But then again, this is nothing new. So fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me 10,000 times, and I'm probably an American voter. The very idea of a secret court issuing warrants on such flimsy standards is anathema to the Constitution. But you see, we had been attacked on September 11th and we were scared. So a Republican president and a Republican-run Congress pushed through legislation that compromises, that infringes, that destroys the rights of the American people. Now, some people say, well, we have to because we have to keep you safe. Forget the rules. We got to keep you safe. Others don't mind because, well, let's face it, it's Republicans that did it, so it must be okay. How can you trust a government that acts this badly? How can we trust a FISA court that is either dumb enough or naive enough to hire someone they recently excoriated for lying to them, for misleading them, for providing them false information? You know, many years ago, I had put in my notice at a job. I'd had enough that there was, let's just say there was mismanagement. And I decided to find employment elsewhere. And I was invited by the customer that we were working for to take a job with them. And I said, you just hired the guy that was fired for mismanaging this account. Why would I trust you? Why do we trust them? Now, again, we tend to think of tyranny as in, you know, real oppression. We tend to think of it as, you know, secret police and informants in the streets, and, you know, tyranny comes in a lot of forms. An absolute ruler that is unrestrained by law or constitution comes in many forms. Perfect example. The Senate overwhelmingly voted last month to advance the quote-unquote COVID Hate Crimes Act. Now, the bill was introduced by Hawaiian Senator Mazie Hirono to address what she refers to as a spike in hate crimes against Asian Americans during the pandemic. Now, was there a spike? I don't know. I haven't seen any data for it. But here's what I do know. Why should someone get special treatment because of the color of their skin? One way or the other, if it is wrong to commit crimes against Asian people, it is just as wrong to punish more harshly those who commit those crimes. It is just as racist to commit crimes against Asians as it is to treat differently under the law those who aren't Asian. And it passed 92-6. So of the 98 senators, no more than 50 of which were Democrats, because there are only 50 Democrats in the Senate right now. Even the Republicans voted for this. Now you know why I say a pox on both their houses. Now, don't get me wrong. If someone is committing crimes against Asian Americans, they should be charged, tried, and if found guilty, punished. So why do we need an Asian Hate Crimes Act? Well, because some guy with a mental problem attacked a bunch of massage parlor workers. He admitted he did it because he had a sex addiction. But you see, 6 of the 7 women attacked were Asian. Now, here's the part that really confuses me. He admits he attacked them because of his addictions. He didn't attack them because they were Asian. So this has nothing to do with protecting Asians. This is taking advantage of the fact of a crime that happened to involve Asian people. This is the reason for this law. So now, since Mazie Hirono got her knickers in a twist because a bunch of massage parlor workers were killed for being massage parlor workers, but they happen to be Asian, we have members of both parties salivating, drooling, and going after a hate crimes bill. What does this bill do? Well, granted, I haven't read the whole thing, but basically it just seems like a way of spending money to track another statistic that I believe is already being tracked. See, here's the interesting thing. I could find, now again, I'm not a lawyer. I haven't gone through all of this, but I don't see any additional years added to a sentence. I see a lot of money being spent for tracking and reporting. I don't see anything that's actually going to stop or mitigate crimes against Asian people. But you see, that idea of equal treatment under the law, the idea that we're also that justice is supposed to be blind, well, guess what? When you're ruled by a tyrant, the law doesn't matter. The Constitution doesn't matter. So we can have racist hate crime laws. You know, I know the word Jim Crow gets thrown out a lot, but it sounds an awful lot like punishing people based on the color of their skin, or at least based on the color of the skin they commit a crime against. You mean like a black man being charged, giving a longer sentence if he happened to commit a crime against a white person rather than a black person? Yeah. That's what America's come to. This unequal under the law. This tyranny of whatever we want, we find an excuse and we'll ram it through. And it doesn't matter which party does it, because both parties do it. We don't care about the law. And people wonder why nobody trusts Congress anymore. But there's more. Because it's not just Washington, D.C. that is full of that is full of tyrants. We have layers of tyrants. For example, the governors of Illinois, Michigan, Minnesota, and Wisconsin last month sent a letter begging money from President Biden. See, President Biden had this wonderful idea to invest in infrastructure. Well, first of all, the federal government can't invest because they don't have any money. The only money they have, they don't make any money. The only money they have, they take from the American people. So if you take someone's money and invest it the way you want rather than the way they want, I think that's called securities fraud. So Biden and a bunch of politicians in Washington want to take money they've illegally confiscated for the American people because we did not authorize them to collect money for these purposes. And they want to spend it on infrastructure. And I wrote an article, which will probably be here, be on this program. If I don't think it's this week. I think it's next week, right? I actually look at James Madison's veto of an infrastructure bill in 1817, I think. And what do we have? We have state governors begging the federal government to ignore the law, to ignore the Constitution, to spend money they're not authorized to spend, just do it in their states. See, these states want the federal government, they want you to pay for upgrades to their water infrastructure. That's right. They don't want to pay for it. They want you to pay for it. What do we call it when you get someone else to pay for something you want to do? I believe that's called a con. I don't care how important it is. If it's that important to those states, pay for it. But we don't see, again, the fact that the Constitution forbids this, because any power not specifically delegated to the United States remains with the states or with the people. But we don't care. Not only is the federal government going to spend money wherever it wants, we have the states now begging for bribes. That's what this is. Give us money, and we will be your servants. Buy us. You know what? No, this isn't a question of being servants. See, servants are paid for the work that they do. This is these governors selling their citizens into slavery, selling them to the federal government, selling their work, their time, their effort to be subjects of a tyrannical federal government. But then again, you hired them. That's right. Citizens of Illinois, Michigan, Minnesota, and Wisconsin, you hired them. They're your fault. So before you start cheering over whatever payoffs you're going to receive, remember, they always come with a price. The federal government would give you whatever money they can for all the freedom that you have. You've been bought and sold, and you didn't even get a receipt. So that's what happens when you let tyrants continue to run amok. When you keep hiring sub-tyrants. You hired representatives that are begging, hands on knees, begging the federal government for money. I mean, I can almost picture the opening scenes of The Godfather, right? And you've got these four governors coming in and talking to Don Corleone Our water systems are a mess, so we needed some money. And I can just see Biden going, well, if I do this favor for you one day, I will come and ask a favor of you, and you will not refuse. There's a reason why governments sound more like organized crime than they do representatives of the people. This is a racket. States spend themselves into oblivion, then beg the federal government to bail them out. They find any opportunity to suck money from the rest of the country because they can't manage their affairs properly, and you hire them. They're your fault. And the fact that the federal government is likely to give these states money is the fault of each and every American. And the sad part, well, there's a lot of sad parts. But I want to look at this story because here's what I'm seeing that's driving me nuts. See, last year we were told, listen, first we were told don't wear masks. Then we were told you got to wear masks. We were told 2 weeks to flatten the curve. And now while all the numbers of the COVID infections and the COVID deaths are getting better and better and better, why are mask mandates still being put in place? When you have states like Florida, South Dakota, Texas, with their numbers plummeting, everyone said, oh, these states are going to allow mask mandates. They're going to spread the virus. Oh my God, it's Armageddon. Except those are the places where the infection rates are going down fastest. And we still have people saying, oh, you have to wear a mask. Forget the fact that governments have no legal authority to mandate that you wear a mask. In fact, it's a federal crime. That's right. It's a federal crime because it deprives you of your liberty and your property without due process of law, which is a violation of the Fifth Amendment. If it's a state doing it, it's a violation of the 14th Amendment. And 18 U.S.C. 242 says any person under color of law that deprives you of a right protected by the Constitution is committing a federal crime, punishable by up to a year in jail. Now, it's not just governments that are doing it. We have actual governments doing. We have quasi-government actors. We have the CDC. We have the WHO. We have fake Fauci. We have media pundits coming and telling us how important it is to wear a mask. We even have Fauci on tape telling people that he's vaccinated, so he doesn't need to wear a mask, but he does wear it to look good because he doesn't want the image out there. We warned you about this. I warned you about this, that if we let the governments tell us we must wear masks, they will not stop when it's not necessary anymore. When have we ever allowed governments to assume power and they voluntarily gave it up? Never. We're seeing whether it's the still pushing masks, even when, again, their medical effectiveness is questionable at best. The evidence shows that actually not having masks, going out, actually being out in the sunshine is the best thing you can do. When the evidence shows that this virus is not nearly as dangerous as we were originally led to believe, yes, 1.8% of people who've been infected died. 1.8%. Most of those are over 75. But you see, we allowed governments to assume power. We didn't stand up against it. And now, surprise, surprise, many of them don't want to give it back. And now we have businesses, some of them being suggested by government agencies saying, gee, you really should get that vaccine. You know, that experimental drug, the one that we had to use do an experimental use emergency use authorization. The one that is supposed to protect you from COVID, but they still want you to wear a mask. That very same vaccine that's had over 12,000, almost 13,000 people die from taking the vaccine. We have tyrants. They're going to ignore the law. They ignore the Constitution. But you see, we didn't stand up to them when they were small. We didn't take care of the small problems, and now it's gotten to be a bigger problem. What happens when you can't go to school without a COVID vaccine? What happens when you can't fly without a COVID vaccine? What happens when you can't go into the DMV without a COVID vaccine? What happens when people are allowed to stop you on the street, when a law enforcement officer is allowed to stop you on the street and ask you to prove you've had your vaccine? Oh, Paul, it'll never get that bad. Really? They also told us it was 2 weeks to stop the spread. Just 2 weeks, and this masking will be over. We're also told you'd never be required to get a vaccine, but here we are. See, there's a wonderful story I tell about the Battle of Lexington and the Captain John Parker telling his men to stand their ground, to tell the British this far and no farther. We will stand against your tyranny. You've pushed us far enough. Now, the Battle of Lexington kicked off the American Revolution, the Revolutionary War, with gunshots and bloodshed and pain and suffering. We have still the opportunity to alter our government without resorting to violence. But it requires we stand, and we stand against tyrants. We don't let them take our rights. We stand up when they say they must violate the Constitution for our own good. We stand. We tell the tyrants in Washington, in our state houses, in our county courthouses, in our city halls, this far and no farther. You work at our sufferance, not the other way around. Tyrants rule because the people allow it. But if we don't stand now, our children will be forced to stand with guns. If we don't stop the tyrants, while we can do so without bloodshed, if we don't stand now, when we can change these things, when we can fight this battle at the ballot box, our children will curse us when they're forced to fight it on the battlefield. And as they bleed and die, they will curse us for not dealing with this when it was still small, for not altering our government when it was still possible to do so bloodlessly, and forcing them to abolish it by force of arms. So what can you do? What can the average American do? Well, there's a lot you can do. The first thing I want you to do is I want you to start off local. Focus on your county, focus on your city. If your county and your city is a safe place to live, if your sheriff will protect your rights, if your police department will protect your rights, that is a wonderful, wonderful start. The next thing is education. We need to, John Jay said that every member of the state should read and study the Constitution of his country and teach the rising generation to be free. By knowing their rights, they're sooner perceived when they're violated and be the better prepared to defend and assert them. So please head to the website, constitutionstudy.com. Find out more about how you can get educated. You can also find out information at constitutionscholars.com, where you can not only learn about the Constitution, you can learn how to study yourself and how to teach others. But I'm going around this summer, and I've got dates already booked in August for what I call your Knowing Your Rights Tour, to help you understand, to help you identify what your rights are, how you can defend them. How do we stand our ground? How do we push back without having to fire a shot? How do we do that? So right now I've got dates in Grand Forks, Bismarck, and Killdeer, North Dakota. I've got a date in Thermopolis, Wyoming. I've got another date in, I think it's Jenkins, Missouri. Just got confirmed. If you're in those areas, please check the website. Go to constitutionstudy.com/tour. You'll see all the dates. You'll see all the locations. If you would like me to come speak to your group, if you would like me to teach you about knowing your rights or about anything about the Constitution, right at the bottom of that page is a form. Fill that out, and we'll discuss it. We'll see what we can do to make it happen. I try very hard to make myself available to educate people wherever and whenever I can. Don't worry about the details. We can figure most of those out. But it's up to the American people. It's up to we, the people, to once again take control of the governments we created to protect our rights, to recognize that if those governments aren't going to do their job, it is our right, it is our duty to alter them. And if we're not willing to alter them, our only choice will be to watch as our children try to abolish them. So you can find out more about my show at AmericaOutloud.com. Find the podcast. Just go to our shows, look for the Constitution Study, and please join me again next time right here at the Constitution Study. Maybe you'll stay out of jail, love the